here to...
You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between Two Worlds, and I'm your host, Derek White Sky Cloud, your friendly neighborhood psychic medium and paranormal investigator. Tonight we have a special guest. This fellow here is got my attention by actually, there's a fellow I actually thank. The person actually has passed me on to these group of people. His name is Pavel McCloskey. I want to thank him for passing this information on regarding this special guest we're having on today. Our special guest is Klaus Heinemann. He is a physicist, and he also has a PhD. He's a writer. He's written a few, I'm sure, a few books, and he's actually done the video. He's actually partnered with a few other people with this book called The Orb Project. And the other part of it, the video, is called Orbs, the Veil is Lifting. Now, It's interesting with the story itself because basically this is in my category. This is what I've been talking about all the time, telling people in this work that I do is that we take pictures and there's always orbs. Now, a lot of you sometimes may not know what an orb is. An orb looks like a little circular item. Sometimes it comes in different types of streams. Sometimes it looks like a little different shapes. Sometimes it has faces. But you know what? Instead of me actually telling you what it means, I'm going to actually share with you what this whole thing has an idea. Now, here's how it works. Is it your camera or is it the proof that spirits do exist? Chances are you've seen one. A digital camera with what appears to be one or many balls of light. Are they dust particles, water droplets, lens flares, or something more? The Orb Project, two leading experts in the study of the orb phenomenon, combined their knowledge and expertise and seemingly reached the same conclusion that orbs are messengers from the beyond. Until now, there has been a huge amount of anecdotal evidence that the spirit world exists, says Klaus Heinemann, a scientist and co-author of the Orb Project. Thanks to the digital technology, we can see it for the first time. We are dealing with a non-physical, albeit real phenomenon. Both Heinemann and Ledwith, a theologian, began their study of orbs almost by accident. In Heinemann's case, it was small, white spheres that appeared in his wife's photos from a healing retreat. At first, he dismissed it as dirt or condensation and set out to discover what else might have caused the mysterious circles. He and his wife began taking hundreds of digital photographs at random events to see whether they could recreate the mysterious effect, and their findings defy science. Throughout mankind's history, there has been an awareness of something more than just our everyday reality. Each culture has an interpretation of this concept or reality that is beyond our five senses, yet has a profound impact on our known physical world and existence. A recent study at Baylor University indicates a surprising level of paranormal belief and experience. A 2005 Gallup poll indicates that nearly 75% of Americans hold some form of belief about the paranormal and the supernatural. Now, that's in the States. Try it in Canada or parts of the world. The authors show various examples of orbs in over 32 pages of stunning color photographs and explain how to discern which are real and which are not. The authors also provide detailed instruction on how to enhance your chances of capturing orbs in digital photos as well as communicate with these mysterious objects from the beyond. Now, the Orb Project is being released in conjunction with the Orbs the Veil is Lifting, a feature film with noted visionaries who discuss both scientific and spiritual ramifications of the orb experience. The film will debut in the West Coast at the Prophets Conference, whose confirmation or conference on orbs was sold out earlier this spring. What year was that, Klaus?
Actually, the conference was that was in May 90 in May 2007. There was the first orbs conference that took place in Sedona, in Arizona. And out of that, that was a standing room only conference with, I think, about 350 or so participants. And the organizer of that conference scheduled another conference because there were so many people interested. And this conference was to take place in Palm Springs in October of last year. And it had to be canceled literally last minute because of the devastating fires that we had in Southern California. And it was rescheduled to take place on this Easter weekend, on March 22nd to 24th, I believe. I hope that's the correct date, but let me just double-check this. It would be Friday, starting Friday, March 21st, and ending Sunday, March 23rd.
Okay.
In Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs, California.
Okay. So anybody lives in California, it won't be that hard to find it.
That would not be that hard at all, and it's put on by the Prophets Conference organization, and so Prophets Conferences will lead you, if you Google it, it'll lead you right away to that conference. And there will
Klaus,
be people.
Welcome to my show, and thank you for coming on. This is going to be a fabulous night tonight about orbs. Now, I was sent a lot of questions in here, for example, for me to ask you. But you know what? I like some of these questions. I think they're fabulous to use, and I want to ask you one particular question right now.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I asked you this earlier, but have you ever found any orbs in the old cameras, you know, the box-type cameras that existed back in the late 1800s, have you found anything like that around that had orbs inside those?
Excuse me. I recently received a photograph from one of the many people who are sending me pictures of orbs and experiences with orbs, and I believe that picture was taken around 1900, and it showed very clearly an orb, which we now know was an orb, right in the center of that picture. And I think up to this moment, or up to that moment when it was sent to me, people had totally discarded that as being anything other than a defect in the picture. Now, of course, it was black and white, but there was an orb in it. Yes.
What do we call an orb? What is like? Does it specifically orb means a circular shape, or is it?
Yeah, it actually is not the greatest word that was used for this phenomenon, but it is a circular shaped. Usually transparent or translucent feature that shows up in photographs. And I would say right offhand that it is an emanation from a spirit being. So what we are seeing there is actually much more than just a little white circle.
Now, have you received like other photographs from other people as well since you've done the research and brought out this book and the video?
Yes, many. There are literally thousands of people all over the world who have seen orbs in their images, in their photos. And there is one particular individual who is a professional photographer and lives in Holland. And he only takes photos on regular film because he, for some reason, does not yet totally believe in the benefit of digital cameras.
And he, we do have some old-fashioned belief.
An old-fashioned belief, yeah. And he has seen many, many orbs.
Here's another question. I mean, people think that sometimes they are considered as flares. light flares. I mean, I remember doing, I will be admitting, I did a psychic party one time. And there was a bunch of girls who were doing this party, and one girl brought her camera. She was taking pictures from a regular camera. And then she brought out her digital camera, and she took some pictures. And I said, oh, look at all these orbs. And she goes, she looked at me really hard in my face. She goes, they're not orbs, they're camera flares. And I went, okay, but I know they're orbs. I'm a professional photographer. I know.
Yeah.
So what do you do about that? How do you respond to that one?
Well, there are numerous responses. First, it is true that there are artifacts like camera flares, like reflections from airborne particles of various kinds, produce images that look very similar to the true orbs. And so there is a good likelihood that an orb that you would have in your picture is, in fact, due to such a simple reflection of a dust particle or a water droplet or an insect or anything of that sort. But there are vast numbers of images showing orbs where this can be ruled out, where this explanation can be entirely ruled out. And that's something, that is what we have to really look at. The one way, just to give you some examples when one can rule out these artifactual orbs, all of these, let's say, except for lens flares, all of these explanations that skeptics come up with will only apply to particles that are very close to the camera, within about 2 or 3 inches at the most.
Okay.
So if you see an orb that is clearly much further away from the camera, then it cannot be due to a droplet or water, any suspended particle. And there are numerous such orbs that we can see that are behind, that are eclipsed by other objects, for example, doors or persons and people behind people, simply eclipsed. And you have to say, well, this orb is at least 5 feet or 10 feet or whatever away from the camera. Therefore, it cannot be. It must be something other than a reflection of a water particle or dust particle. That's just one. Now, other explanations are when you capture an orb in motion, which happens occasionally. And when you do the calculation, these motions, what happens is that you photograph this orb within a fraction of 1/1000th of a second. The flash duration is typically 1/1000th of a second half width. And
this is on a camera.
Yeah, within
okay.
In a regular camera. And we have seen up to 9 different positions of one orb showing up during that short time. And if one calculates the speed of relocation of these 9 times relocation within that short time period, the velocity is enormous. It is several hundredths of miles per hour. And you cannot, by any means, explain that this kind of a velocity with anything that's suspended in the air, because you can't move particles in the air that fast. It just doesn't work.
Do you get a lot of skeptics that people in the field? I mean, like to be skeptical. I mean, this is it's healthy, but you're going to let people out there who still to this day deny the fact that what you're researching is actually right or wrong?
There's no question. And there are also, still to this day, people who believe that the Earth is flat. And there are still people in this day who believe that the Earth was created 6,000 years ago. I mean, there are some people who cannot be convinced of progress.
Okay, well, that's true. They probably, because they sometimes they'd be living in a third world country at times too. They still think that it only exists in that one area.
Right, right. No, I'm not trying to put this down.
What I'm
trying to say.
People
is,
don't want to accept the fact that what change, what we, what's been, what's how I feel myself. I think is because the advancements of our technology, we're starting to see more things happen.
Yeah, we have to get away, and let's become a little serious about this.
Yeah.
We have to get away from a mode of doing research that is that has been used during the past, I don't know, 200 or 300 years, and is becoming outdated.
Yeah.
And that is that if you can find in a particular research effort one, let's say one out of 10 arguments that are being made that is flawed, then the what we used to do is we used to say, well, we found an argument that is flawed, therefore the entire experiment is flawed. We have to get away from that, and
yeah,
we have to literally turn this thing around and say, if there is an argument, maybe one out of 10, that we cannot explain with the current state of knowledge, then we have to look further into it. Then we can no longer ignore that, but literally have to give it the benefit of the doubt and look into that. And this is where I'm coming from, and this is, I think, the new way of doing research. And the reason why that is so important is because in this new way of doing research that involves a reality that is beyond the reality that we are living in, that we are seeing and measuring and sensing and all of that, beyond this physical reality, we have to, we can no longer avoid an influence of the mind of the researcher himself or herself. So this is a whole new ball game. And in this research that includes the unseen dimension, like you would call it, we have to include the mind, and that is a very serious factor that that has not been really considered and recognized in conventional science.
I've got people in the chat room here. I'd like to welcome the BBS Radio chat room as well as the Paltalk chat room people. They're asking questions here. They're saying here that they actually find colors, different colors of orbs in their photographs, which I was going to ask, actually ask that question.
Yeah.
In your book, it shows me here I have all different types of colors of orbs. Are they, do you know what their purpose is? Like, you know, if they're different colors, that means just the color of the rainbow, or is there a specific identity what they represent?
The question is a very legitimate one, and I would at this stage be somewhat cautious and not overinterpret that. And the reason why I'm saying that is some of these colors do come out when we do image processing. Now, one of the major advantages of a digital photography over regular film photography is that we can do digital processing in digital photography.
Okay.
And that's actually the main reason why we are seeing these orbs in digital photographs and not so much in regular photos. So with this digital processing, we also can emphasize colors. You can do processing in such a way that an orb will come out with a higher contrast, and sometimes this means that you would slightly emphasize a certain color. So some of these colors may just simply have to do with that. And
can we call these orbs out, like, you know, like say we use music or just talking to them, like, say, you know.
That's a whole different issue. Yes, you can. So their appearance in your pictures may be very different. Now, I contend that these orbs are in fact emanations from conscious beings that are not of this reality, that are not of our physical reality.
Okay.
Now, if you deal with that, then you have to say they may in fact be so conscious that they may be very knowledgeable about and very cognizant about our technical capabilities. And so they may very well be able to adapt their appearance to what we have and what we can do technologically. So the question really for us to ask is, what is it that they, why is it that they're showing up? And what is it, if anything, that they want to communicate to us? That's
why all of a sudden, like, I remember told this a long time ago that Spirit said they'll start making themselves be known to us by the year 2002. And I've noticed that there are more pictures of paranormal orbs as well. I mean, different types of, different facets of orbs, different types of, like, they look like veils. They look like,
yes.
I mean, here's one. For example, I've got a young boy. His name is Alexander. I got a photograph of him. And every time anybody takes a picture of this boy, not just one particular camera, but everybody, somebody takes pictures of this boy from different cameras, different angles, there's always it's almost like a transparent veil with multicolors coming in front of him.
Yes. Very interesting.
But he's the only child that I've ever done that.
Yes.
And that is, I've never seen it done before.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that either. But in this, having done all this work with orbs together with my wife and with many other people, has changed my whole philosophy of reacting to anything like you're saying.
Yeah.
And there used to be, my reaction used to be, more or less, you're nuts.
Or else I'll say they're rain particles.
Right.
Outside, this is dampness.
Yeah, I mean, my reaction just simply would have been disbelief. But I can no longer afford to react that way. Because now we do have to say, literally, we do have to say that there is nothing that is not possible. That's a whole new way of thinking. And so go ahead.
I've had my first experience when I started seeing faces and orbs, I would say about four years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I actually have this picture and I decided to downsize it, and I saw this face and it looked like a face of a dog.
Huh.
And I did the close-up on that one, and I've also got one right now that I've took a picture of in the back of my yard, and I looked closer at it, and it looked like my mom.
Yeah.
And she crossed over just last year.
You see, this may very well be what you interpret and what you are seeing there, and it may not necessarily at all be what I would see in it.
Yes.
And that this is where the mind of the person dealing with the orbs actually comes in and into play. And I think we do need to understand that this is no longer something that is totally objective. But it is in fact something where subjectivity find its way into it. So orbs and orb interpretation may in fact be very subjective to the person doing the interpretation. And that
now,
is fine. Go ahead.
We do an electronic voice phenomena. I'm sure you know what that is.
Yes, yes.
Have you tried that with the presence of orbs?
I have not yet done any experiments in that regard, but we have experiments planned. I think this is an exciting combination and an exciting way of to further extend the research on orbs and the research on phenomena of that kind. I mean, what we have to ask ourselves is, again, what is the reason why the orbs are appearing in our cameras with greatly increasing numbers? And let me first say, answer my own question, say that these numbers have, in fact, increased enormously. Like, when I first started seeing orbs, I saw, well, onesies, twosies in series of pictures that we took. And then when we increased, as time went on, we did see more and more of these orbs in our photographs. And we now see them very frequently. So there is something that makes the frequency of orb appearances increase. And also in this regard, we went back to pictures that we had taken at you mentioned that our first sighting of orbs was at spiritual retreats. And so we had taken many pictures at previous spiritual retreats. And yes, we did see some orbs in those pictures as well that had been totally, that we had overlooked because we never really noticed them, but not nearly as many as we're seeing now. So there is an increase in the appearance of orbs. Quite a significant, I would say this increase may very well be of the order of 100, factor of 100. So there is a significant increase. And
I've got a lot of pictures. I'm sure you'll have a chance to go to my website if you did have a chance to see. I've got one particular place that I took pictures of that I experimented on calling in the orbs, so to speak, spirits. And this is actually someone's farm, which is a very peaceful place.
Yes.
And they were totally, totally engulfed with orbs all around them.
Yes.
And we took the pictures, and when it developed it, and first thing people said, or my wife said to me, she goes, "Oh, that's just rain particles." It wasn't raining outside. It was clear.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it must be damp outside. I said, "No, it's not the dampness. It's actually what we're there." So everybody's thinking, that many ghosts? There's hundreds of them.
I really don't like the word ghost in this, context.
But that's what they're thinking themselves, because they feel that the orb, now there's a difference between they're calling an orb a ghost, and my understanding is, I'm sure these are, to my understanding, this is how I've understood it, they're energy particles, is what I call them, energy particles that come in, and yes, they could be also people that are crossed over.
Well,
I feel there are energy particles that come around us for one reason, is because they're attracted to ourselves, who we are, and we're trying to find out what exists on the other side.
Yeah, you could also phrase it a little differently. You could say these are representatives from a reality that is unseen to us.
Okay, perfect.
And, you see, and if you compare, if you look at our reality and look at the variety, the enormous variety of living creatures, plants and animals and people and all of that in our reality, you have to somehow extrapolate that in this unseen reality, there may very well be just as much of a variety of species than we have here in ours. So if you do that, then you would expect a huge number and also a huge variety of orbs, of faces in orbs, of shapes of orbs, and all of that occurring. And so when you see these enormous numbers in a picture taken at night in a setting like you're describing, they may very well be nature spirits, they may be all kinds of different species that all are resident in that unseen reality that are in that picture.
Are orbs seen
always
in the dark?
No, they are not. But they are very often seen in the dark by people. just simply because...
I do have the odd photo for the daytime, but do you find it's more often dark than day, or...
Yeah, I would say in general, yes, clearly people see them much more at night because of the dark backdrop and because of the fact that they are light phenomena. They are energetic phenomena, and it takes much less energy for an orb to be visible at night, doing that against this dark black backdrop, than during daytime or in a well-lit room. Now, we have seen very many orbs in the setting that we have described before, in around people and in joyous settings and in settings of a spiritual nature, where there was light, where they were seen against a fairly light backdrop.
Yes.
So that can happen too. It could be that these orbs are higher developed. It could be that they are more capable, because they are higher developed, they are more capable of using the energy that is available to make them sounds available to be seen in your pictures. All of that is possible.
In one of your other parts, or one of the other book here, part of your page here, shows me that there's orbs taken a picture of an orb in, like, water, in an ocean or in a lake.
Yes, yes. Now this is
not water bubbles, there are orbs.
Yeah, this is actually not a picture taken by us. Joan Ocean is one of the persons who are interviewed, who are showing, appearing in this film, in this movie, Orbs, the Veil is Lifting. And she is an ocean, a person swimming or studying dolphins and mostly dolphins and whales and so on, and dealing with the consciousness of these beings, and she is taking many underwater photographs, and she has seen them in many of her photographs. Yes, so but that's Joan Ocean. I have personally not taken any underwater photograph that shows any orbs.
I was actually quite shocked when I saw that.
Yeah, it is. So that in itself takes the wind out of the sail of a lot of the critics who would, it takes a whole new explanation in a way to refute these orbs as something that is just artifactual.
Now, I got people asking about, they're saying they got some photographs of orbs that had looked like tails on them.
Yes.
And they got some of them in photographs of their own. I mean, those, to me, it looks as if they're actually moving very fast.
Yes.
Also, there's other types of orbs that are, we talked about having faces in them, and also there look like bands, you know, how it looks like little whips, and yet you're standing still and there's other items next to you as if the fraction is moving faster on the right side or left side. You know, say you're focusing on one particular light bulb, for example.
Uh-huh.
And that person that you took a picture of, it hasn't even moved. The picture is perfect, except the light bulb is somehow, the light itself is moved. Does that relate to something to the orb?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I've
got photographs of this.
Yes. Sometimes I just simply have to pass.
Yeah, something, it was taken in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
When after they had the flood.
Yeah.
I mean, we already know a lot of people died there.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And they were in this pub. These five girls were celebrating their graduation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the daughters I know is a friend of her. I'm a friend of her mom's. And they sent me a photograph which had about six different types of lights. They were orange in color, zigzagging across. And the girl was sitting, a bunch of girls were all sitting still, they weren't even moving. So, I think we have a caller calling in. We have a caller calling in.
Okay.
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Hello, Derek?
Yes, who am I talking to?
This is Nick in Costa Rica.
Hi, Nick from Costa Rica.
Yeah, I spoke with
Question
you before.
Question for our friend here, Close.
Yes. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention, I've taken several digital photographs in my house and seen many orbs. My wife took one at a family gathering outside the house at night, and it was very dark out in the country, and there was a huge bluish orb above them. But what I was going to say, I noticed that if I get like flashes of light around the edge of my eyes, it might just flash by. The other night when that happened, I told my son, bring the camera quick. I think that means there's an orb in the room. And he took a picture of me, no orb. So I said, well, I'll take one of you. And I took a picture of him, and directly over his head, there was a definite orb. So what I want to know is, does this seem to indicate that could be an orb flashing by or maybe going through my skull? Who knows? But like a white flash will just go along the peripheral part of the vision.
Well, Klaus, what do you think?
The observation is very interesting, and it actually confirms what I have heard from other people. And I personally know several people who have the intuitive capacity to see, to sense where orbs are. And it's been to the point at times where I literally had one such person standing next to me and telling me, hey, an orb is there, take a photograph. And I would take a photo, and there was a big orb in the photo, and I could not see it. Now, why can we normally not see it? There are several reasons. One is that the biggest reason is that I believe that the normal state of rest of an orb is not one where they are still and not moving, but just the opposite. The normal state of being is one where they are in great mobility, both in terms of speed and in terms of expansion and contraction.
Does it seem like a vibration, Klaus?
Yes.
Is that what it sounds like?
Yes. They would constantly, very, very fast, expand and contract in size and also move around. And that's why you can't see them, because your eye just simply doesn't perceive something like that.
But somehow it comes from the side of the view just as much as they're actually front of our eyes.
Right. But since they are sentient beings, since they are conscious beings, and this is a thought that in itself sounds absolutely crazy, but since they are that, at least that is my working hypothesis, they can also interact with certain humans who have this somewhat unusual capacity of perceiving, let's say, phenomenal occurrences. And so Nick may very well have a certain degree of this kind of intuitive capacity that other people do not. And I have heard of people seeing these very light, very, very dim flashes of light. This it really confirms what I've heard before.
Nick,
but
if you can actually have a chance to, if you can email that photograph to Klaus, and you can actually do it care of my show at whiteskycloud@yahoo.com.
Okay.
I can forward it to Klaus, or Klaus can give you his email, and he can have a look at it and see what his opinion could be on that one.
Well,
Nick,
you can certainly forward it to Derek, and then. But I think your orb photo is probably not that different from any other one.
Right.
It is just simply your experience that is different.
The important thing for us to register is
that there is an experience that goes along with each orb photo.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step in the evolution of orb research, or finding out what this is all about, has to combine our personal experiences with the actual picture.
Right. I can't believe that it is dust or moisture or anything, because, like, I'll flash, say, maybe four photos, one right after another, but yet the orb will only show up in one photo.
That's right.
The same exact scene.
That's one of the many arguments that we make.
I think that's all, like I said, as Klaus is saying, it's a vibration.
Yes.
I've had the same thing too might happen to me, where you can take about half a dozen pictures and only one would show up and the other five are not there.
But you can take half a dozen pictures, and one of these six has hundreds of orbs, and the others have none.
Exactly.
And
now, you actually have been in what's called a tunnel of orbs.
Yes. Now, the co-author, the co-author of our book, The Orb Project, which is actually now available all over the bookstores and at Amazon.com, and which I recommend people to read, the co-author has seen this kind of a tunnel effect, and it is described in the book quite well. This is Dr. Michal Ledwith, who has done orb research for quite a number of years.
So he's your partner in crime doing this book.
He is the partner in crime, yeah. Interesting way of putting it, yes.
Are you, Nick, still there?
Okay, I'm still here, but I'll hang up and let you go ahead, okay?
Thank you for calling in, Nick.
Right, thank you, Nick.
Take care.
I don't know if it would interest your audience, some of the people in your audience, to hear how we hooked up writing this book together. And it came through the publisher herself, who is Atria Books is the publisher, and so anyway, this lady, she had my manuscript, which I, by some act of intuition, presented to her. And I didn't hear from her for quite a while, and then all of a sudden she called me up and said, "Hey, I got another manuscript on orbs, and from a very interesting fellow who actually was one of the persons featured in Down the Rabbit Hole and What the Bleep in these movies. And would you be willing to write a joint book on orbs together with him? It appears, she said, that he is looking at orbs from a very different angle, and his pictures are very different and all of that." So it turned out that we read each other's manuscripts and found out that Michal mostly has his orb pictures taken at night during against a night sky, and my pictures were mostly taken during where many people were present and doing kind of spiritual settings or festive settings or around children and all of that. So very different. And so we combined our forces, and each of us presents in the book his own manuscript on the Orb Project. So this how this...
To be honest with you, I feel this book is one of the most informative subjects, and including color pictures in here, and one of the best informative books I've ever read in a long time. We all know, because most of the time, you know, when you're in the paranormal field, you're depending on your own personal research and guys that you work with and people you know across the world. But that's just subject as being conversations back and forth regarding your research. This is telling me, and you're seeing it from a scientific point of view just as much as a spiritual point of view, because you're combining them both together.
Right, right. Yeah, and I can't help but connecting it to a spiritual point of view, because it is, to me, literally a penetration into that realm that heretofore we had real difficulties penetrating into. But now it's very obvious, and it's something that we can no longer just put aside, brush aside. This is a realm that is true and that is existing. In fact, now I have come to the understanding that if we deny that the existence of that realm. Totally, we are really denying a great deal of our own existence, a great deal of who we are, because with our minds, we are penetrating into something that goes outside of our physical universe, our physical reality. And
do you remember that movie called Contact?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when the young lady was actually in the dome, in the ship, and she was ready to take off, and she ended up going into what you call an atmospheric, well, actually was an atmospheric chamber. She went through a galaxy, basically, she just went through it. Do you feel it has the same connection? It's almost like, because you look at this photograph, and one of the books here, it looks like you're actually looking at planetary systems.
Yes, I mean, this is all very, very interesting and sounds very coincidental.
Doesn't it make any some sense? I think I had a caller call
yes,
again.
Yes.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi, who am I talking to?
This is Molly. Hi, Mr. Hyman.
Hi.
Hi, Derek.
I have a question for Klaus. Can you speak a little louder?
Yes, I have a comment. I have the book, and I really love the book. I've been studying and researching orbs for 3 years now, and the book kind of validated my theory of what I'm capturing on video and in photographs. And mine are mostly in motion, and I see them on the digital camera screen. And I want to commend you on your book, because I think it takes, as you were talking earlier, not only a spiritual end of orbs, but also a scientific end, that we are tapping into the other dimension. And I believe, my personal belief is, as technology improves, we will be able to validate that the other dimension exists within this dimension, and the orbs will help us to do that, I believe.
I couldn't have said it any better. I really like what you say, Molly. And I also find it very interesting that you mention that you have seen orbs in films, in movies.
Yes, I have.
This may very well be a different mechanism with which orbs are showing up in movie pictures.
Or even in documentaries, too, I've seen
yes.
that where, and even sometimes they do paranormal investigating, the guys themselves, the actors or non-actors, they're investigating, they don't realize there's orbs going across. I'll say to my wife, oh, that's an orb.
Yeah.
And she'll see it. I'll see it, but everybody's going like, what?
Yeah, that's how it works, right.
Yes, and my other observation, too, if you don't mind me saying, is that these are not a Hollywood portrayal of paranormal either. We are actually tapping into the other dimension with today's technology. With what I have seen with my visual eyes and with what I've got on video and in photographs, and I don't know if Derek remembers, I've sent him a couple. I have seen them in motion. They're fast. They're there for a reason, I believe, to help us to realize how close the spirit world actually is.
Yes.
And I believe they're not only spirits of human beings, but I believe they're, as you said, Mr. Hyman, they're other beings. They're elementals, they're whatever you want to classify them as. But we are tapping into more than just our loved ones on the other side.
Oh, yes, much more than that.
Yes.
Much more than that. Yes, I really do agree that we're tapping. We're just simply scratching the surface of tapping into a whole new dimension that is much, much bigger in variety and all of that than our own physical reality.
Yes, I believe that. I see them almost every night. They fly around and zoom around, and I can get tons of them in motion, which to me proves that it is not, you know, the speed that they're going, it is not bugs, it's not, you know, dust, it's not any of that. I commend you on your book. It's a very good book, and I've got it all marked up, so so it must be a really good book.
Oh, yeah, very good, Molly. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank yes, you what you're going to have to do, thank you, Molly, for calling in.
You bet, bye-bye.
I think what you're going to have to do, Klaus, you're going to have to get a second book out and make sure you have about 10 or 12 pages as notes on it. Just blank space.
Yes, yes. In fact, there will be a second book going out, and it will deal more with the combination of the stories of people that people have and the pictures. Because this is the next... the next way of looking at orbs. It is the combination of the experience that we have and the pictures. I think this is where we are trying to, where we are finding out what this is all about.
What can an amateur photographer look for if they want to do experimenting to find an orb?
What should they do?
Yeah,
they
what can
should,
like an amateur photographer, if they were, if they want to do some orb pictures, where could you feel? What would you feel be the best place for them to go to take pictures?
It is probably not some clearly the best place would be outside, in the dark, because of the aforementioned black backdrop. But I think it is very important for people to know that they are dealing with sentient beings, and it would help if they align their mental state of being in such a way with these beings that they, in fact, invite them to show up in their images. Because it appears as if it is up to the orbs to show up in your pictures, and not
so people don't bring in, ask with love and light.
Yeah, I mean,
and say, you know, we'd like to welcome you to come and join us in this wonderful case where I'm standing. Can I take pictures of you? Can you please come forward?
That's in a way the attitude that we have to have. Yes, I really agree with that. And
there's a skeptic in the room. It won't work.
It won't work. It won't work for the skeptic, or it may. And then I get lots of pictures and stories from people every day, and I have seen numerous. I've received numerous emails from skeptics who turned away from skepticism as soon as they saw themselves these orbs in their own pictures.
Now there are people out there like myself who have been involved with the extraterrestrial.
Yes.
And we got someone calling in, so I guess we'll take the caller first. We call her there.
Hi, Derek. It's Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Hi. Listen,
how are you doing?
I'm really enjoying the show, by the way.
Do you have a question for our friend, Close?
Well, basically, just a comment, and I don't know if he's heard of there's a Star Lodge ceremony that my husband and I have attended. And
I know what Dale's talking about.
Yeah,
in our traditional way, Klaus, we do what's called a Star Lodge ceremony. It's done by the Métis, and we welcome the extraterrestrial people into the lodge. And I'll let Dale tell the story.
Yeah, okay. I'll just tell you quickly because you have to go off pretty soon. But we have seen those orbs, the flashes of light in the complete blackness of this ceremony, and it is really, really something. So yes, different from other worlds, from different dimensions, however they travel. This is my feeling on this as well.
Now, it's very interesting, Dale, that you mentioned that. And let me just say this, just for maybe you will get a chuckle out of this. I was both my wife and I, we were in a starlight ceremony very similar to the one that you are describing.
Yes.
About, I don't know what, maybe 8 years ago. And I was such a disbeliever at the point that I didn't see anything. And I would not have seen anything, even if they were all around. And so I really do believe that this experience is actually an example of the circumstance that you have to be in line somehow mentally in line or spiritually in line before you actually can see it and experience it yourself.
Yes.
You would agree with that, right?
I would, yeah. Because they may have been around us all along.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Yeah, but if you're not, you know, prepared to see it like you say in your mind, then you won't.
Of course you will not. No, yeah. Because they won't make the effort of show up in your pictures and in your field of view, and because they know you're not your mind isn't set out that way.
That's right.
So, Klaus, do you want to give out your site for them to know where they can get your book and your DVD?
Yes, they can get the book in all major bookstores. The book is, of course, The Orb Project by Michal Ledwith and Klaus Heinemann. And they can also go to Amazon.com and get it there.
Okay. Well, Klaus,
and the book is actually
a pleasure having you on the show. And I know I'm going to get you back here again because we've still got more to talk about.
Yeah, thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Dale, for listening in and being participant in this show.
Okay,
take care. Klaus, it's been wonderful. Great to have you on. And we'll have to get you to come back here again. So, folks, thank you for listening in. Thank you for those who are actually on the chat room and asking those questions. Who am I? Where am I? Is this an orb? Am I married to an orb?
And to what extent does it help me to find out why I am here and what I'm doing? And I think that ultimately is the big question that they help us answer.
That sounds really great. Okay, guys, take care. This is Derek Weisguy Cloud, and we're listening to Between Two Worlds Radio. Guys, take care and be safe out there. Talk to you next week. Bye.